Hello, welcome to the sound of the start of Easter weekend, which is a true football feast in the EFL. This is the NTT20 betting show sponsored by Betfair. I'm Ali Maxwell. George Ellick is with me today.
Hi.
Making betting picks ahead of the full slate of fixtures on Good Friday, Friday the 29th of March, hence coming to you one day early. This podcast is for over 18s only, very strictly, and it's about betting, which comes with significant risks, so please make sure that you're aware of them. Head to Be Gamble Aware to understand the risks that come with gambling. Advice that is very apt for me at the moment on this show: never chasing losses, never betting more than you can afford to lose. Last week, hold my hands up, another poor one. I've been hemorrhaging somewhat in the last couple of months. No winners for me. And for you, George, on what was a reduced slate, similar, really. The best thing that happened was Matthew Dennis not playing.
Denis. Yeah, weird one that. I couldn't really work out why, but no talk of injury. He must have been ill or injured or something because they didn't even name their full quota of substitutes. But on your thing, just chill.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's all right. Your prices last week, 5-4, 7-4, 100-30, 15-2. So, like, you know, expected wins, not that high. And it wasn't a great week for you. You're going to bounce back and you're going to back someone as soon.
It's compounding poor weeks in a row. I know that you're being nice, but I'm also happy to be vulnerable and say it's difficult to have a really poor month when you're making betting picks public.
Being vulnerable is a good thing. But don't, you know, I'm not giving you any sympathy. I'm just trying to quantify the losses.
Much appreciated. I always feel pretty low from about 5 p.m. on a Saturday until about Wednesday morning when I've had a bad week. And then it starts to turn around and then you start looking forward and then you start your research and then you find some picks that you like. And that's what gets me going. So let's look ahead, George, to Good Friday games in the EFL. What's your best bet?
My best bet is Stockport to beat Forest Green 2-0 at 15-8. Listeners to the Monday pod will know that I was not particularly enamoured by Forest Green's performance at Doncaster last weekend, where they're beaten 2-0. They barely created anything. They had no attacking threat whatsoever, and Doncaster were able to create consistently against them. And you know, Stockport are, I think, just bigger than 8-13 to win this game, which is fair when you consider the 5-0 win that they had over MK Dons, when you consider that despite the recent poor form, the underlying numbers have maintained a pretty high level, one of the best in the league, and it was their kind of poor finishing rather than a massive dip in their chance creation that has led to this. The one thing that kind of surprised me when researching this bet was that Stockport's away games this season have just been really high scoring. Like, it hasn't necessarily, they haven't won loads of games 2-0 generally away from home. They beat Crewe 2-0, but apart from that, they've generally conceded in away games, even against the bottom teams in the league, albeit they've still got all three of the bottom teams to play away from home to come. But in terms of this is more about Forest Green, and even before Steve Cottrell came in, they were beaten 2-0 away from home at, so they were beaten 2-0 at Stockport, they were beaten 2-0 at MK Dons, they were beaten 4-0 when they hosted Mansfield, they were beaten 2-0 when they were hosted by Barrow. So when they play against the better teams in the league, they generally have struggled to score. And when you think of the way that Steve Cottrell manages football clubs, when you look at the way that he's looked to, and has had some success in turning Forest Green's fortunes around, it's grim. It's based on defensive solidity, it's based on trying to basically take whatever chance you can create. And I don't think they have the capabilities to get by what is a very, very good Stockport defence. And they will have to put in a much, much better performance from an attacking standpoint if they are to trouble them. I mean, Stockport's attacking play, as we've seen fairly consistently, I think if they are to justify the 8-13 or whatever they are, that 15-8 for them to win 2-0, which seems by far the likeliest outcome to me, that's like a huge price. So yeah, 15-8, Stockport to win 2-0 is my nap.
I'm in League Two. I'm on the peninsula. Barrow to beat Grimsby at 1.95, 19-20 with the Betfair Sportsbook. This is sixth at home to 21st, which I think at this stage of the season, that being the case, and for the home team, the team in sixth, to be just under even money, instantly looks and feels good. So what's the catch, basically? Why the price? The price is such because of Grimsby's incredible away underlying numbers. So pretty much since Christmas, I think it is, they've played six away games, Grimsby. They won against Salford, and convincingly so. And since then, they've had five draws in a row away from home. and they've deserved more. Generally, these haven't all been like battling draws, you know, nicking a point against the odds because you're the team scrapping for survival. Away from home, Grimsby have just played well. It has looked a lot more coherent, and they have avoided the amount of errors that they've suffered in their home games. So that's why the price is the way that it is. But even so, I want to back Barrow at home at this price. Four clean sheets in a row at home for Barrow. In fact, the last six home games, they've seen only a total of 2.5 expected goals generated against them. So their defence is keeping the opposition at bay to the tune of less than half an expected goal per game in their last six home games. They are and have been for so many years now under Pete Wilde. So many years. A couple of years. Incredible out of possession.
Mate, these days, with management stints, that is a long time.
Yeah, it's like dog years. Mm. Seven dog years for every one.
Maybe we should work on a currency, like a manager age currency.
It's 10 years for every year.
Fine. Wow.
So Pete Wilde's been in charge
Happy
of Barrow
30th, Pete.
For like 30 years. And they have been consistently excellent out of possession. And I'm therefore pretty confident that they can keep Grimsby at bay in the main here. So the question is, can they find a way to score? Barrow's attacking numbers are not nearly as good as their defensive numbers. They have scored in 16 of their 19 home games. So they generally find a way. And if you look at the individuals here at the top of the pitch, well, Cole Stockton is scoring at better than 1 in 2 over the last month or two. Dom Telford has been a good creative foil for him rather than a goal scorer as he has been previously. Emil Akwa is a good option for them as well. And Kian Spence scoring goals from midfield and has been a goal threat in the last couple of games, even when he hasn't bagged. So I'm not expecting a 4-0 win by any means, but I do think at this price it is still worth getting with Barrow at home, even understanding that Grimsby's away performances have been good. And the price 19-20 makes it my best bet of the weekend in the EFL. Best bet of the Good Friday games, at least, in the EFL. George, what's your next?
My next best is Mansfield to beat Wrexham at 15-8. I'm just not convinced that they should be the outsiders in this game. Like, I know that Wrexham's home form over the course of the season has been very good, but if you look at Wrexham's form or Wrexham's season against the better teams in the league, they're yet to beat any of the teams that currently occupy first, second, fourth or fifth. They drew 0-0 at Mansfield. They were beaten 5-0 when they went to Stockport. MK beat them 5-3 in Wrexham, and then they drew 1-1 in the away game, and they drew 3-3 with Crewe at home. So they're yet to pick up 3 points from these teams. They're kind of flat-track bully, especially at home. It seems to be the way their season has gone so far. And yes, their home form has generally been very good over the course of the season. But if you look at their last two games, their back-to-back home games midweek 2 weeks ago and then the weekend after, they drew blanks against Harrogate and Tranmere, drawing 0-0 and losing 1-0. And then the Grimsby result was obviously much better, but it was down to kind of really smart finishing rather than a constant threat where they kind of scored three goals early from three very well-taken goals. But it wasn't back to the Wrexham that we've seen previously where they've been very strong. Mansfield obviously come here off the back of a disappointing draw against Colchester, but they played okay in that game. Colchester, as you mentioned in the Monday pod, maybe not quite as bad as their league position suggests. They beat Bradford 5-1 last time out away from home. They're, in my mind, the best team in the league, along with Stockport, with Wrexham probably a close third. We've seen them do the double over Stockport already this season. I just think that they come into this playing better. They're the better team. And whilst I know that Wrexham have home advantage, and that has been a big thing for them this season, off the back of their last two results, I'm not entirely sure I agree with it. So I kind of toyed with going draw no bet here, but I think I'm going to stick to my guns and just put in Mansfield at 15-8, so the same price as my nap, to come away with 3 points and what would be a huge win for their promotion push.
Massive game in League Two. Massive game. Mm. What a treat this part of the season is. My next best is in League One, and it's Charlton to win at Exeter at 2.55 with the Betfair Sportsbook. This is strongly about a pro-Charlton stance. I think we might have a situation where Charlton will probably finish 14th, 15th or 16th in League One. And I think when the Betfair traders put out their market for League One promotion next season, my prediction is that Charlton will be in the top five, possibly top three for League One promotion. And there will be a disconnect between people going, this team finished 15th last season.
Yeah.
What could possibly happen that they would suddenly be among the three best teams?
We've heard that before, haven't we?
We have heard that before. But I think the clues are there. I think the clues are there. This is a team, as we know, with at the very least a top six budget, if not higher in the division, at the very least a top six squad, albeit not a perfectly put together, not a perfectly constructed squad on account of how many managers they've changed over the last few years. But certainly in terms of playing staff and playing budget, should be in the top six. And generally, that's a pretty good barometer. Generally, the league tables look broadly similar to the playing budgets. They also now have, in my opinion, easily a top six manager, if not a top one manager in League One, in Nathan Jones. And this is a guy who came in at the start of February. They've had a very busy schedule with, I think, three of the five midweeks. They've had league fixtures. And he's just had an international break. Therefore, for me, Nathan Jones' first proper time on the training pitch with this team, that can only be a massive positive, given how highly I rate him. And they've been playing broadly like a top six team under Nathan Jones. They got some good results against some of the bigger teams, or some of the teams at the top, in Derby, where they won away, Bolton, where they drew away. And their underlying numbers are top sixy. Their last eight games, if you look at the form table in League One, they're around sixth in the league table. So I'm now considering Charlton a top six team at the very worst. And they travel to an Exeter side who have been doing enough to stave off the sort of relegation fears that teams like Burton and Cambridge are feeling right now. They beat Burton 1-0 at home last time out. They didn't play that well in that game, but they got the win. They beat Shrewsbury 3-0 before then, helped with a red card for Shrews after 5 minutes in that game, and three smartly taken first half goals for a comfortable win. And they drew 2-2 with Bolton the match previously. I was on Bolton in that game, and Exeter, I would say, played well for a 30-minute period after half-time. But in the main, I still believe that Bolton were clearly the better side overall, didn't maybe manage the game quite as well. So overall, I'm not seeing Exeter as a hugely strong team, certainly not a top half League One team at the moment. And therefore, at the price at 2.55, I do think that Charlton can impose their superiority and beat Exeter this Friday. 2.55 the price for my next best, Charlton at Exeter. Betfair have got a completely free Acca and Bet Builder on offer on football this weekend. You have to go to the promotions page on the Betfair website to opt in. It applies from 28th of March, that's Thursday, until the 1st of April. And the max free bet varies from £1 to £10 per customer. You need a minimum odds of 1.5 on minimum one leg. Eligibility criteria and T's and C's do apply. But this weekend, with Betfair, a completely free Acca or Bet Builder on offer. Head to the promotions page to make the most of that. Who's your goal scorer?
Kieran Sadlier at 5-1 for Wickham. They were kind of next on the list, purely a price thing. You know, they're Wickham host, Pompey, you know, not very many points away from not only winning promotion out of League One back to the Championship, but also winning the league. But Wickham are 11-4 at home. And, you know, I still think Pompey have had, in recent weeks, their run of form has been, they played very well in games and won them. And then they've had games where they haven't necessarily been best, Oxford being one, the Posh game being another, but they've managed to just eke out 3 points. And I do still think, even though I definitely think they will now, well, I think the chances are they will go up now, and I can't see too many issues in them doing so. It wouldn't be a massive surprise to me if they did drop points between now and the end of the season. And Wickham provide a really difficult test. Like Wickham, you know, you talk there about Charlton being one to watch for next season. Like I strongly think Wickham are absolutely fitting into that category right now. Like Matt Bloomfield was under some significant pressure early on in the campaign. But you look at their recent form line, you know, they've won 3 games in a row against Reading, Wigan and Northampton. But generally their form has been very good, kind of dating back to the end of January now. They beat Peterborough 5-2 at home, which in itself was a good bit of form. They drew 0-0 with Oxford, but were by far the better team in that game. So we're seeing, especially at home now, they are coming up against decent opposition and really proving themselves to be, you know, at worst on a level with them, but often being the better side, and even, you know, in the Peterborough case, beating them 5-2. So I think they've got a huge part to play in this. They're an attacking side. Like, even if Pompey do come away with all 3 points, I don't think it's going to be easy for them. Like, I still think Wickham will cause them problems. And then sadly, you've got a player who's scored 3 goals this season. All of them have come fairly recently, playing off the left-hand side. He's been a big threat for them. He's had a lot of shots.
He loves a shot.
He's had a lot of shots. He had 6 shots in 70 minutes against Cheltenham the other day. But generally, you know, he's getting into good positions. And if you look at, in terms of their kind of constant players who are constantly on the pitch in this decent run, he's been their highest XG per 90 with, I think, 0.22. So he's someone who's getting into good positions fairly regularly. And if I'm right, and if Wickham do cause Pompey problems, I think he will be possibly the main beneficiary of that. So yeah, sadly, at 5-1 anytime is my goal scorer pick.
My goal scorer pick's in League Two. And I must say, I find this exciting. I find this interesting. There's a player in League Two that we have not spoken about very much on the Monday pod, certainly not on the betting show. And it's fun to get to this stage of the season and still have things like this flagged up and wonder why there's such a blind spot, really. There's a player in League Two that has scored 12 goals in 36 League Two appearances and has only scored 1 goal in each time that he's scored. So any time has landed in 12 of his 36 games. That is 1 in 3. And he's 8-1 to score any time this weekend. If anyone has been able to guess while I've been talking, I'd be very impressed. You guessed after a minute or so to think about it. It's George Thompson of Harrogate. He's 8-1 to score away at Wimbledon. And clearly part of the context here is that Harrogate are a long price to win. Wimbledon's home defensive record is exceptional. I've seen them a few times in the last 2 months post Al Hamady departure, and they don't always look that convincing going forward, but defensively they are good. There's no two ways about it. But I can't ignore the fact that Thompson, with 12 anytime goalscorer bets having landed in 36 games this season, who is on penalties as per last weekend's evidence, where he scored a penalty in their win against Bradford. Someone a bit like Kieran Sadlier, who will shoot from anywhere, and 70-75% of his shots are from outside the box. But he has still scored the majority of his goals this season from inside the box, and he is a threat from range, from free kicks as well. I just think at this stage of the season, if you find someone that has scored at a 1-in-3 rate over the course of 36 games, and you're getting 8-1 for them to score anytime, I just think that's the sort of thing we're here for, to be honest. So George Thompson, Harrogate, 8-1 to score against Wimbledon. That's my goal scorer pick. Long shot.
This is quite fun. So I'm picking a player for a long shot who's played 10,109 minutes in both English and international football and hasn't scored a goal.
Oh, amazing.
He has scored 1 goal in his career, and it came at Rennes.
Really? I do know who it is because I saw who you were Googling just then.
Joseph Rodon.
Oh.
Joe Rodon. He'll be a bit gutted after last night.
He'll be so sad this morning.
So he needs to put it right. This is such a weird statistical anomaly.
This is like Jacob Bordeaux early in the season, where I'm like, mate, you win 80% of your aerial duels. You're a big, beefy centre-back. Why can't you head it in the goal?
So Leeds are playing Watford on Friday evening. They will know what has happened with Ipswich against Blackburn. They'll know what's happened with Leicester, who play Bristol City in the early game. Watford's set piece defensive record since the turn of the year is disgusting. They're conceding like 0.5 XG per 90 since the turn of the year from set piece situations. I don't know what is going on there. Again, it's not something you'd associate with Ishmael. Ishmael's gone. Will Tom Cleverley sort it out? Maybe, I don't know. I'm happy to take a chance that he won't. Leeds, not necessarily the greatest set-piece team themselves, but you have to anticipate that they will pile on the pressure, get a lot of corners, get a lot of opportunities to put the ball in the box. And Rodon, you know, despite never scoring, goes forward for set-pieces. But what's mad about Rodon's goal-scoring record, or lack of it, is that he averaged, in 18-19 for Swansea, he averaged a shot every other game, right? Mm-hmm. The next season, at 0.4 shots per game. For Wales, he's generally averaged over a shot every other game. This season for Leeds, he's averaging 0.5 shots per game. What is he doing? Like, what is going on? And then you might be like, oh, where are these shots coming from? Maybe he's just letting fly from like 40 yards.
I've never seen Joe Rodon let fly from 40 yards.
And also his XG this season is like 1.7. So he's getting into decent places. He just seemingly cannot head the ball in the back of the net. But this cannot continue. Like, this is slave to the data stuff where I'm like, eventually one has to fly in and up against a team where I'm anticipating they're going to pile on the pressure, have loads of opportunities to exploit Watford's set piece, you know, issues defensively. At 14 to 1, I mean, I'm betting something that based on pure probability should be like 250 to 1. But I think it's going to come and probably come fairly soon. So Joe Rodon at 14 to 1 at any time is my goal scorer pick. Is my long shot.
Was it just over 10,000 minutes he's played?
Also, none of his shots this season have been on target.
What's he doing?
I don't understand what is wrong with his head.
I just like the idea that, as we all know, albeit I'm sure there's some debunking theories on this, that it takes 10,000 hours to become a true expert in a skill or discipline. Maybe it takes 10,000 minutes of senior football to learn how to head the ball in the goal. My long shot is Joe Taylor of Lincoln to score two or more at home to Orient at 14 to 1 takes three quarters of my point. Joe Taylor to score a hat-trick for Lincoln against Leyton Orient takes a quarter of my point at 175 to 1. Joe Taylor scored a hat-trick the last time he played at 100 to 1.
How many back-to-back hat-tricks have we seen in EFL history?
I don't know.
I'd love to know.
I don't know. But how many people...
Is this maybe even more unlikely than Joe Rodon's set goal ring?
How many humans in world history have died and come back to life? It happens. This weekend of all weekends, you should know that. Yeah, I mean, sure, there's some fascinating betting theory that you can tell me about why backing someone to score a hat-trick when they've just scored a hat-trick is stupid. In isolation, I think that Joe Taylor is value to score any time at 5-2. He was cut two or more. He was 19-1 Tuesday night. He's now 14-1, which is a shame. But I definitely think that him to score a hat-trick at 175-1 is value. As I said, he scored one in the last game at 100-1. We have an amazing betting community on NTT20 Squad, and there were a couple of people who were on Joe Taylor to score a hat-trick last time out at 100-1. Pratty, in particular, celebrating one of the great picks of the season on the NTT20 betting squad. And yeah, I just don't think it's been recognised in the prices, the fact that he is League One's number one goal threat right now. He has the highest XG per 90 in League One this season. He is playing for a team that have scored 16 goals in three games. He did score a hat-trick last time out. He scored a brace the time before that. He has scored two or more in three games this season across his spells at Colchester and at Lincoln. And part of the price will be the fact that Lincoln are odds against to beat Orient at home, which will surprise people that have seen them playing so well recently. It's because Orient themselves are a really strong side and they are good defensively. But even so, if there is just a chance that Lincoln are going to put in another one of these displays where they press unbelievably well, where they play brilliant forward passes in behind for Taylor, where they're really good at breaking down teams in more sort of patient possession play, and where the confidence is so high and the vibe so good that they just keep going and going and going, as they have done three games in a row, then I want to be on their most dangerous goal threat, the most dangerous striker in League One right now, to score two or more, to score a hat-trick. For the purposes of the long shot, the pick is to score two or more, 14-1, three quarters of a point, and a quarter of a point on Joe Taylor, hat-trick at 175-1. We want something iconic. We want something iconic. Come on. BTTS, we're all yeses this week. My foray into BTTS no last week was disastrous. So let's go with a BTTS yes sixfold. Looking for our third win of the season. The price is 25.7. So just less than 25-1.
Sheffield Wednesday, Swansea the first for me. Two managers in Royal and Williams. So I think if you generally back BTTS in their games, you won't go too far wrong. Swansea showed last time out they're still possessing a decent attacking threat when beating Cardiff and doing so, where the 2-0 scoreline probably could have been and maybe deserved to be more than that. Wednesday conceding six last time out, but this is a huge game for them, like absolutely massive game to try and get back to winning ways. And we know that Ruel basically doesn't change his mindset or change his philosophy for anybody. So this should be a game, I think, with plenty of chances at both ends. Barnsley-Cambridge next up. Some people may think that Cambridge won't score under Gary Monk, but I just think this is, you know, a Barnsley game being 5-4 BTTS. Just has to be backed, really. They're a team who attack wherever possible. And even if they win this game and win it comfortably, it could be the kind of game that in my mind finishes kind of 4-2 or something like that, where they do concede a bit in terms of their chance against, and also Cambridge, again, a huge game for them. They have to try and find a way to stop this really poor run of form. Finally, Bradford-Tranmere. Bradford conceding loads of goals at the moment. Tranmere under Adkins, generally a good place to go for BTTS. So again, I can't see why this would be cagey. I can't see Tranmere going there. And also two teams who probably... now their playoff hopes have gone. So maybe the first occasion where we might see a bit of fun in the winter sun, I guess, maybe. But yeah, two teams where their games are not low scoring at the moment.
BTTS for me, yes, in Bristol City against Leicester. And this is the early game on Sky. So the sixfold could be done by 3 p.m. on Friday, which is always a bit of fun. Yeah, massive game for Leicester. 3 weeks since their last championship match and having lost top spot in the meantime. And pretty tricky game as well away at Bristol City. Leicester have only kept one clean sheet in the last five. You would generally expect them to score because they generally do score. But I think that the interesting thing here is whether or not Bristol City will score against them. And I think that they will. Interestingly for Leicester, and in my eyes, maybe not ideal, on Tuesday night, they're playing on Friday at 12:30. And on Tuesday night, the following players played for their nations. Hermansen and Vestergaard for Denmark. Daka, Ndidi, Iheanacho, Fatawu, Ajun, Wout Faes. That's, to my eyes, let's say 5 or 6 likely starters, if Leicester had everyone available, played for their nation on Tuesday night ahead of a Friday 12:30 kickoff. I'm suggesting they might be a little leggy. And that's not great because Bristol City, albeit underwhelming results overall in the last few months, they've been good when they've played top teams. 4 games against Premier League opposition under Liam Manning, 2 games against West Ham and 2 against Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup. They scored in 3 or 4 of those. They only lost eventually one of them on pens. They scored 2 against Ipswich. They scored 3 against Southampton. They scored 5 across 2 games against Borough, 3 against Hull. So against possession-heavy teams, they are excellent and making the most of those moments of transition. I think they'll score, is what I'm saying. Crawley Doncaster in League 2 is the next. Two form teams over the last 10 games. The two teams that have picked up the most points in League 2. Both better going forward than they are defensively, I think. Last 4 have landed in BTTS for Crawley. Their defensive numbers are not great. Corey Adai's shot stopping has been getting them out of quite a few holes recently. And Donny enjoying themselves. Adelican and Molyneux in particular, goal threats off the wide forward positions. I think goal for both sides in that one. And also in Accrington against Morecambe, where under John Doolan, Aki in their last 3 total goals in the games, 3 goals, 4 goals, 4 goals. BTTS has landed in all 3 of those. And same for Morecambe in the last 4. The scorelines have been 3-2, 3-1, 5-3 and 3-1. All of them defeats. It should be quite a spicy affair, and I like BTTS in that one. So the sixfold at just under 25-1 is Bristol City and Leicester and Sheffield Wednesday, Swansea and the champ, Barnsley and Cambridge in League 1 and in League 2, Accrington, Morecambe, Crawley, Donny and Bradford, Tranmere. Just very quickly, sorry to extend this episode, but I've got a bit of a sort of betting question for you off the back of the Joe Taylor thing. So like, just trying to be as hypothetical as possible to make the question clear to you.
Yeah.
So I quite like John McAtee of Barnsley to score. They're at home to Cambridge. I think there's a good chance, like a lot of other Cambridge recent opponents, they might score quite a few goals. And he's, I don't know the exact price right now, but let's say he's 5-2, same as Joe Taylor. Very, very similar. Would you be more comfortable backing John McAtee to score a hat-trick if he was 175-1, if he was considered to have a similar chance of scoring a hat-trick to Joe Taylor because he didn't score a hat-trick in the last game, rather than Taylor, who did score a hat-trick in the last game?
I would say there are 2 ways to think about this.
Great.
One is gambler's fallacy, mm-hmm. right? And this is where the idea that previous events have any bearing on what happens next. So the idea that if you and I were to toss a coin 10 times, Yeah, I said it right that time. Yeah, yeah. Amazing. If we were to toss a coin 10 times and it was heads every time,
yeah,
that the 11th time it wouldn't be a 50-50 chance, mm-hmm, it would be heads again, mm-hmm, which of course it would be. Mm-hmm. Having said that, in football, I'm not sure that is necessarily relevant because you have variance. And Joe Taylor's three goals last weekend came from an XG of probably, I would guess, like under one. And so there's probably, and if you look back over his run of goal scoring form since he arrived at Lincoln, I'm pretty sure, and I can have a quick look as I really try and drag this out for ages and just keep talking so I can find out the answer to the question that I'm about to say. Yeah, his eight goals have come from 5.5 XG. So if you ascribe to the idea that variance will reset itself and therefore he's going to have a more difficult time in front of goal, then it might have an impact, but it's an incredibly small sample size. And maybe he's just a really good finisher. So I would say there's no definitive right answer. I don't think gambler's fallacy necessarily works in football because there is variance. However, the chances of him scoring a hat-trick within itself, because he scored like one last weekend, unless you can really prove that there is a kind of dry spell to come, may not quite work.
Okay. So didn't you mention John McAtee there?
Oh, so would I... so personally, I probably still would... If I fancied two players score hat-tricks... and one has scored a hat-trick last weekend, I'd be more inclined to back the one that hadn't. But that might be... There'll be people out there listening to this being like, that's nonsense. There'll be people out there listening to this being like, that's correct.
McAtee's 125-1 with the Sportsbook. They could both score. I mean, anyway.
The treble-treble.
I was already really excited and eager for a 175-1 pick to come in. And I think these conversations have just made me even more excited and eager for it to come in. So,
is this a Kevin Keegan moment?
Could be a bit of fun. Guys, enjoy your Easter weekend. Thank you for joining us on the show and throughout the season on the NTT20 betting show. During some ups and some downs, we'll be here until the end of the season. So please do keep joining us. Thank you to Betfair for sponsoring this podcast. And I almost forgot to recap our selections. My nap is Barrow to beat Grimsby, 1.95. My next best, Charlton at Exeter, 2.55. George Thompson, 8-1 to score for Harrogate away at Wimbledon. And Joe Taylor, 2 or more, 14-1. Hat-trick, 175-1. 3/4 of a point on the former and 1/4 of a point on the latter. George.
Stockport to nil, 15-8 is my nap. Mansfield to beat Wrexham at 15-8 is my next best. Kieran Sadlier to score for Wickham at home to Pompey is my goal scorer. And then Joe Rodon to score his first ever goal in English football at 14-1 is my long shot.
BTTS sixfold involves Bristol City and Leicester, Sheffield Wednesday and Swansea. BTTS, yes, in those two in the Championship and in Barnsley, Cambridge in League One. And finally, three in League Two, Accrington, Morecambe, Crawley, Doncaster and Bradford. Tranmere just under 25-1, 24.7 with the Betfair Sportsbook. Thank you. Go well.